All right. Joining us now, pleasure to have this gentleman on. We've had him on for many years, and that's Gordon Wittenmeyer. He covers the Cubs for the Chicago Sun-Times, and boy, you look for a team that's heading in the right direction and spent some money this week. It's the Chicago Cubs. So, Gordy, nice to have you with us.
Thanks, Marty. Good to be on. Hey, by the way, Lefty, is it just like the old one? They've got the piano bar in there and everything?
No piano bar, but it is the same food and all that kind of stuff. But it's expanded the menu. It's got a big buffet, so you think you're at Caesar's Palace or something like that.
Still the great memorabilia and everything all over the place.
A lot of memorabilia. Yeah. The World Series replica trophy is in there, but murals on the wall, some beautiful baseball murals. It's a totally baseball feel. But not as old as the other
one. Right, right.
That kind of.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. That was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for mentioning it. Very good. All right, Gordy. So the Cubs spent some money this week. Were you surprised? And what does the addition of Kimbrel mean?
Yes, I was surprised in the sense that I didn't know, even with the Zobrist windfall, and I'll explain that in a minute, that they would have the money to be that competitive, because I knew other teams were in fairly aggressively. So the fact that they were able to make a bid as competitive as they were was kind of surprising. But I knew that just in the last few weeks they had found a payroll calculus that would allow them to get involved. I figured if they got close, they could probably compete just because of where they are and who they are. And if you're offering multiple years, where would a player want to be over the next 2 or 3 years? So in that regard, yeah. But it really didn't happen until Ben Zobrist took his personal leave. He's going through a divorce. He's really focusing on trying to take care of his kids right now. They're small kids, and you know, a lot of stuff's going on back at home. But he's on the restricted list, which means that he's not getting paid. So it's well into the second month of that, and every month that he's gone is worth more than $2 million in recouped payroll. Now, they had hardly any flexibility at all going into the season, with a little bit held back for the trade deadline. So what they held back plus what they're anticipating in the Zobrist savings allowed them to do this. The fact that they're able to do this, I mean, my God, they were going to have to piece together something toward the trade deadline, get multiple arms, none of them with anywhere near the pedigree of this guy, and who knows what they would have had to give up, assuming they had enough in the farm system to pull off the kind of trade they wanted. So this really was a boon for them, and was an absolute best-case scenario in terms of being able to fix the bullpen, even if it was far from the best-case scenario of the circumstances that allowed it to happen.
Well, the Cubs have been in this situation before. A couple of years ago, they went and they got Aroldis Chapman and ultimately won the World Series with him. I wonder, they went and made that trade and had to give up Gleyber Torres to the Yankees in that deal. I wonder, and maybe you can shed some light on this, if they are still planning on being buyers, do they have the assets in the minors to go make another trade to add some secondary arms to the back end of the bullpen?
Yeah, and that's the key there, is that they've got the assets still in the system that they can add secondary arms. What would have been the biggest question mark is whether they had enough to throw into a package to pull off whoever might wind up becoming the biggest, most desirable trade arm out there. When they went after Aroldis Chapman, they had much more in that system. They still had Eloy Jimenez in that system since winning the Quintana deal in 2017. So they had a lot to work with back then that they don't have close to working with now. And so that's why the Kimbrel signing is so huge. Now it allows them to go, you know, maybe one more arm. If they can find a good, reliable left-hander, that might be all they need. And I would suspect that they're going to look for probably multiple arms in that second-tier range. So, yeah, they're definitely not done. That's for sure.
Well, maybe a match with the Giants, because the Giants obviously have a lot of bullpen that's going very well, second in the National League. Gordon Wittenmeyer is with us from the Chicago Sun-Times. Gordy, what about the race? Adam and I were just talking about the race, you know, with 100 games to go, and most teams have just either at 62 or 63 games right now. If you're six back, seven back, this is when baseball is at its best. You know, the march right through the summer and, you know, cutting those games down week by week. How do you see the Central? Because a couple, look, let's face it, the Dodger race looks like that's about over. And we've got a couple in the American League, Houston, Minnesota. But this National League Central, to me, looks like one that could go down to the wire.
Yeah, this is, well, let's back up 1 week. If you back up 1 week before they picked up Carlos Gonzalez, who has shown some flashes of what he might be able to provide, and then obviously Kimbrel, it was wide open. A lot of it was going to depend on who picked up what toward the deadline. And, I mean, I'm talking all the way down to the Pittsburghs and the Cincinnati's in the division. They're only a few games under 500. And so you're talking about, 2015, three Central teams made the playoffs. And that was in part because they beat up on the fourth and fifth teams in the division. That's not going to happen this year. So the division winner coming out of here might be a 94-win team, something in that range. Again, depending on what kind of an impact Kimbrel has, does that help them coming out of the All-Star break where all of a sudden they go on a big run and they put a five-game cushion on somebody? Possibly. But then you've got at least two teams in this division that are wild-card caliber, and we don't know what they're going to do toward the trade deadline. It is absolutely it looks at this point like the deepest division, but the National League overall looks pretty good, too. I mean, you look at it, the East, you got Philly out there. The Braves are the defending champs. And Washington still has the kind of pitching that frontline starters anyway, where they shouldn't go on any extended losing streaks, and they might be able to put something together for a few weeks, and all of a sudden maybe they make some noise as far back as they are. It's really a fascinating National League field overall, but I do think that the most entertaining division to watch probably – maybe in all of baseball the rest of the way is going to be the NL Central.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Question for you, Gordon. What's the standing right now with Joe Maddon? How's he viewed in the organization and by the fans? I know there have been questions coming into the season about how long he'd be here, maybe beyond this year. What's his standing right now?
He's in fine standing. I think we may have talked about this on the show before. So the deal with deciding that they weren't going to renew him before the season and that they were going to wait until the end of the season to evaluate where they go with him, leaving him in a lame duck contract season, that was part of a larger landscape of they didn't do much of anything in the offseason, and they finished last season very disappointing. They weren't scoring a lot of runs down the stretch, and they got caught by the Brewers on the last day and then bounced in the wild card game. So with no means to really ramp up during the offseason, they looked internally very intensely for what kinds of changes they could make, mindset changes, role changes, but also the way they evaluate guys. So going into the season, the idea was we're going to evaluate this whole team, core, management, coaching staff, everything, and we're going to see if we have what we hope we have in this core and see how it plays out this year. If it doesn't improve, if things don't improve organically, these guys don't get better, maybe it's time to reevaluate the whole thing. And so that's the context that the Joe Maddon contract situation is placed in, and this added context. He's making $6 million a year. Managers don't make that anymore. So if you're going to commit to him with an extension, it's going to be in that range or more. And do you want to pay that, no matter what you think of the man, if you're going to go in a different direction for a few years?
Well, if they win a World Series or win a pennant or, you know, really make a splash in the playoffs, he's back. I don't think you could do anything else. But let me ask you this. Bellinger, Yelich, Josh Bell. People talk about those players. But, you know, so if the Cubs win this thing and it's a great race down to the finish, who's the MVP candidate on the Cubs? Because it's like Minnesota. Minnesota could win by 20 games. I'll ask you, the MVP candidate in Minnesota, nobody knows who they are.
Rosario, maybe. Right?
Polanco, probably.
Yeah,
Polanco.
Yeah, Jorge Polanco, there you go.
But, Gordy, for the Cubs, who's the guy right now?
Well, you know, yeah, your best player is Javier Baez. Best hitter is Chris Bryant. You're the linchpin of the whole lineup who's having a big season is Anthony Rizzo. And don't sleep on the catcher. Up until just recently, the guy had 1,000 OPS, and he catches. And there was noise in August of 2017 that Wilson Contreras could have been in that MVP race. So all those guys could potentially be candidates if they stay healthy and this team performs well in the second half. And they might do what Rizzo and Bryant did to some extent in 16 and split the vote a little bit. It didn't keep Bryant from winning the MVP. But that's almost as good a race as some of these division races and wild card races in the NL that we're anticipating the second half.
Well, I agree with you. Now, you got Cubs and Cardinals, and we love having you on because this is, you know, Dodger-Giants today, Yankees-Red Sox, Cubs-Cardinals. For folks who don't know, it is probably the second best rivalry in baseball because we got this one here. But take us through a little bit of Cubs and Cardinals this weekend. Plus, Cubs-Cardinals are going to play in London next year. How about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And they get the... And it's a St. Louis home series, too, which means we don't have to go to St. Louis.
They'll play a game of rounders in London is what they'll do.
So what about this weekend? Today, John Lester goes. He's pitched great. Flaherty for St. Louis. Yeah, four hits or less just about every start. Tomorrow, Hendricks, who's been outstanding. What about this series with the Cards?
Well, it's fascinating. They played, what, seven games so far this season? And the home team's won every game.
Wow.
And then coming into this series, the last series they played was in St. Louis a weekend ago, and the Cardinals swept and had the exact same starting pitchers lined up again. So you didn't know how it was going to go. It could be like this all year. You know, trading sweeps, I don't know. But that even, two of the Cubs' losses in St. Louis last week were by 2-1 scores, one in extra innings. So... That's the kind of series this is going to be. Maybe even a little more of a grudge match. The Cardinals are what, three seasons now since three seasons out of the playoffs since they last made it. I know they feel they got better in the offseason, and now there's been some offseason smack talking with Chris Bryant calling St. Louis boring, just in an offhand funny remark, and Yadier Molina getting. Genuinely irritated by it, apparently, on social media, and firing up the fan base. So there was a lot of booing and extra energy in St. Louis last week, and I think that's going to play out all year. It's going to be
good.
It's going to be fun in sort of this, even if it's kind of contrived in that regard, it is adding to it, and how evenly matched the teams are in this division, that's just going to make it even more so the deeper we go into the season.
Boy, what fun. All right, playoffs start today. Who's number one? Who's the first pitcher for the I guess it matters if it's the Dodgers or not, but let's take that out of the equation. Who's the number one pitcher for the Cubs?
John Lester.
Okay, all right. Not Hamels, huh?
No.
Okay.
Hamels would probably be the third pitcher, depending on how Darvish is going to come out. I would imagine it would be Lester, Hendricks, Hamels, and then
Quintana.
Quintana or Darvish, depending on who you're facing.
If it's the Dodgers, right. It's Quintana.
Yeah.
You need the lefties.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Boy, great story. Well, Gordy, great to have you on. Kimbrel, I read in the paper, 3 weeks for him. He's on option
That's
in Arizona, about,
right. about
3 weeks.
Yeah, they're talking about just before the All-Star break. Just something like that. It could be a little sooner. It could be, if it's that close, they might just hold off until coming out of the break. But yeah, in that range.
Boy, you got drama. I'm glad to have you on. You got drama in Chicago. It's good for baseball. And, of course, the Cardinals are there this weekend. Gordy, thank you so much for coming on.
You got it, Marty. Thanks.
Thanks, Gordy.
All right, that is Gordon Whitmire, covers the Cubs for the Chicago Sun-Times.